Isaiah 34. Come ye nations and listen. Pay attention, peoples. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all that comes out of it. The Lord is angry with all nations. His wrath is on all their armies. He will totally destroy them. He will give them over to slaughter. Their slain will be thrown out. Their dead bodies will stink. The mountains will be soaked with their blood. All the stars in the sky will be dissolved and the heavens rolled up like a scroll. All the starry hosts will fall like withered leaves from the vine, like shriveled figs from the fig tree. And now we'll move to Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I will now pass over to Reverend Winston, who will be delivering our sermon today.
Okay, first of all, if you don't have a Bible, you can QR code that and it'll take you straight to the passages we're going to look at this morning. Or if you want a physical one, you can just put your hand up and someone will grab one and give it to you. Is anyone? All right. Oops. I'm going to pray. Great God, we come humbly to you now. Help us to really listen and pay attention. Lord, there's some hard things for us to receive from you. We pray for humility. Help us to understand ourselves and to truly understand you, God, and who you are and how you want us to respond, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, some words conjure strong feelings within us. And I've got a little exercise for you at the risk of putting some of you to sleep. Can I get you to close your eyes for a moment? And I'm going to give you some words and I want you to pay attention to what feelings come about when I mention these words. The first word is skydiving, 10,000 feet high in the air in a small plane, and you're about to jump. How do you feel? Well, how about chocolate? Delectable Swiss milk chocolate, smooth, creamy, melts in your mouth. Well, how about Hawaii, beautiful tropical weather, crystal clear ocean, beautiful sandy beach, relaxing under a palm tree, sipping a cold, sweet, refreshing coconut. Ah. What about this word? Judgment. How does that make you feel? Keep your eyes closed for a moment and listen to these words again from Isaiah. Come near, you nations, and listen. Pay attention, you peoples. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all that comes out of it. The Lord is angry with all nations. His wrath is on all their armies. He will totally destroy them. He will give them over to slaughter. Their slain will be thrown out. Their bodies will stink. The mountains will be soaked with their blood. All the stars in the sky will be dissolved and the heavens rolled up like a scroll. All the starry hosts will fall like withered leaves from the vine, like shriveled figs from the tree. You can open your eyes now. Hopefully you're not asleep. But judgment is, it's an uncomfortable subject, isn't it? It's a word we really don't want to talk about very much. It's a word that we want to avoid and we don't really want to think about. And when we're asked about it by one of our friends, perhaps we pretend we don't really want to talk about it. We try to avoid it. And maybe like in our own hearts, it's something which we just push away. No, this thing isn't real, this thing called judgment. It's not real. And if your friends asked you, like, what's the feeling about the word judgment? Are you embarrassed to talk about it with your friends? Do you try and dodge the topic? Well, we can't dodge it today. We're in Isaiah 34, and there's no dodging this subject called judgment. We're confronted with this devastating picture. And so we must think about this to this morning. And there's something for us to pay attention to, God says, to listen to. We've got to learn something here and respond to it. And so that really is the first point of my talk this morning. We need to do what Isaiah says in verse 1. We need to listen and pay attention. We are part of the world. And Isaiah says to the world and all the nations, to the whole earth, come, listen, pay attention, because judgment is real. And judgment is coming. It's coming. Did you know that? We can distract ourselves. We can pretend that it's not going to happen, but it's coming, whether we like it or not. I'll tell you this crazy situation that's been happening in our apartment recently. I live in an apartment in Epping. It's kind of newish, and they have this weird alarm system that's connected to three towers. And when something triggers one of the towers, the alarm goes off in all the towers. And so every 2-3 weeks recently, for the smallest of reasons that some of them I don't even know, this alarm is going off at like the craziest hours, like 4 a.m. in the morning. And it's like really annoying. It's like, doot, 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 evacuate now. Doot, 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 evacuate now. And it just keeps going and going and going. And you're like, my goodness, I've got it. Like, you can't avoid it. It's so annoying. And it's the craziest time of the morning, and you just when you're in the deepest sleep, you're just like, I need this, right? And it's like so annoying. Anyway, it's been happening so often. There was one occasion when it went off like crazy hour, 4 a.m. I thought, do I put on my noise cancelling earphones and just go back to sleep? And then I'm like, oh no, come on. Just use your common sense. Maybe there's something that's really going to happen this time. And I've got to pay attention. I've got to listen. I've got to do so. I've got to respond. And so down we went, my family and I, and we got out of bed, walked down 17 floors on the fire exit. And oh my goodness, it's so disruptive, right? But we've got to pay attention, right? We've got to listen. What if there really was a fire? And this is what we might be tempted to do when we come to the topic of judgment. We might be tempted to ignore it, put on the noise-canceling earphones. No, I don't want to talk about judgment. But God says, listen, pay attention. Who should pay attention? Well, we read everyone. The first verse tells us that Isaiah is speaking to everyone. He's talking to the world, or all nations. God is angry with all the armies, all peoples. Now, yes, Isaiah was preaching, is prophesying to Judah at the time, and there's something very specific for Judah to pay attention to. But ultimately, this vision of judgment is a vision for all peoples. And so we need to pay attention to this ourselves. Now, let me give you a bit of context, first of all, and so we can get our bearings. You might recall what's going on in the life of Judah at this time. There's this great nation called Assyria, and they're charging down, taken over the northern kingdom, Israel already, and they're coming into Judah, and they've come right to the gates of Jerusalem. And Assyria, we're told, are the instrument of God to judge the people who have been unfaithful. You know, back in Isaiah chapter 1, remember what it says? Your sacrifices, they are a stench in my nose. They've become burdensome. Why? Because of all of your idolatry, all of your rebellion, all of your violence, all of your corruption, all of your unfaithfulness. I'm angry, God says, and I'm going to judge you. And so here is judgment right at the doorstep of Jerusalem, the people of Judah. And so judgment is a very real and present thing in Judah's life right now. But this is for all of us, all nations and all peoples. And we are meant to get that sense that judgment is coming for us, for the whole world. Judgment is an imminent thing. God is talking to the whole world, and he's angry. He's angry at all of us. And we're told that he will totally destroy. He will totally destroy them. He will give them over to slaughter. Verse 3 says, the slain will be thrown out. The dead bodies will stink. The mountains will be soaked with their blood. Now, do you get the picture there? It's so graphic when you think about it. And I looked up images of judgment, and some of them are like scary, so I'm not going to stick any of them up. But you get the picture. There's just so many corpses lying around that there's no way to like bury them, and they start to stink. There's a stench, and the mountains are soaked with blood. Death and destruction is everywhere. You can't get away from death. And though the people might flee to the mountains, they can't escape the judgment of God. And even the mountains are soaked with blood, flowing with the blood that's caused by the judgment of God. And so this is the picture. It's scary. It's horrible. I know. I'm with you. I want to get away from this. I don't want to go there. But this is what we're told is going to happen on the final day when God comes and judges the world. And it's going to be not just people, but all of creation, we're told. Even the stars, all the stars in the sky will be dissolved. The heavens will be rolled back like a scroll. The stars will fall from the sky. You get the picture? It's devastating. All of creation, even the stars, when we look up in the night sky, they're so beautiful. It's like they're so ancient. They've been there for like forever. There's so much life in them. They're alive. Even they're so far away, they feel so alive. And yet these stars would dissolve and just fall down, and they'd be like leaves withered, figs shriveled. Their life is gone. Creation is destroyed. There's no more life. Now, as you read on in this chapter 34, it's more graphic stuff. I'll let you read it in your own time if you want. But, you know, it's this image of God. He's wielding a sword. You know, it's sated with blood, and he's going to swing it. And when he swings it, he's not going to miss. You can read about that. But friends, I just really want you to know that judgment is no joke. It's serious. And the vision we get is sickening, isn't it? You know, it's horrible, it's ghastly, and it's devastating. And Isaiah says to Judah, who's the initial audience of this passage, he's saying, guys, pay attention. Judgment is coming. This vision is meant to shock them, to wake them up and say, hey, look out, guys. Repent. And so we're going to find out what Israel, what Judah does next week when Dan preaches on the next passage. Do they repent or not? What will happen? I'll let Dan tell you what happens. But that's the message to Judah. Wake up and repent. And that's the message to us. God is saying to us, wake up. Pay attention. Listen. Judgment is coming to the whole earth. And up to this point, God has been like very patient with us, hasn't he, as human beings. We've done so much evil in this world throughout history. But he's giving us a chance to repent, to put our trust in Jesus and to be saved from the coming judgment. But God is just, and he cannot let sin go unpunished forever. There will be a day in the future. We don't know when. Scripture says it'll be like a thief in the night. It could be tonight. Judgment could be tonight. It could be now, this very moment. Are you ready? Wake up, Isaiah says, and pay attention. Repent before it's too late. And so let us repent. If there's anything that you're holding between you and God, then the first thing to repent of is your pride. Let's repent of our pride. Let's humble ourselves and go to God. Trust in God and go to him to save us. No one can save us from the sword that's about to strike us except God himself, if he holds it back. And scripture says he holds it back only because he swings it at his own son. And so I want you to know that judgment is coming, but I also want you to know that judgment is not the final word of Isaiah. But in the next chapter, Isaiah 35, which was read to us, we get a very different picture. Chapter 35 is beautiful, isn't it? It's so encouraging. And we have this picture that is the opposite of chapter 34. 34, death, destruction, devastation, corpses, blood, you got everything that's just you want to avoid. But here there is flourishing. There is life. Have a look, verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. I didn't know what a crocus was, but so I had to look it up. That's, some of you might know crocus, but that's crocus. It's a beautiful flower. It's a beautiful color. And, you know, you get this image of this desert, which is normally very parched, but yet this parched land will give way to gladness and joy. And like this flower that's blooming, so the desert will bloom, will rejoice and shout for joy, we're told. Verse 2 goes on, the glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. And you might not get the symbolism there, but Lebanon is this symbol of fertility, fertile. It's not like a desert. It's the opposite to a desert. Carmel stands for, it's kind of symbolic of ordered cultivation, and Sharon is a symbolic of beauty. So we get this image of this new place, not the devastated place, but this new place where there is salvation of beauty and fertility and cultivation, and there's abundance. So these positive, these beautiful pictures being painted for us, and the desert will give way to life. And in this place, the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God will be there, and we will see his glory, his majesty. And the image, the imagery of chapter 35 is a beautiful picture. It's a picture of redemption, picture of restoration. And we keeps going, verse 6 and 7. And water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Burning sand will be transformed, will become a pool. The thirsty ground will become bubbling springs. All of a sudden, there is water where there wasn't, and in the haunts where jackals once lay, there's grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. You see the transformation, the difference, the contrast. So how will this happen? How can this be if God is about to judge? How can we get there? How can we get from judgment to this better place where there's abundance and life and safety? Well, he says in verses 3 to 4, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Now, that's, I think, mostly directed at Judah. And it's important to say that here is Assyria raging against them. And God says, I will bring judgment, and judgment will come. And so in one sense, this is encouragement to Judah. There will be salvation at the end of this. God will not forget you. Judgment will come, but judgment is not the final word. Salvation is. So this was an important word to Judah. But it's also important for us, isn't it? That through judgment, there is great salvation, an everlasting salvation, a salvation that is forever. Now, why do I say that? We'll have a look now, verses 5 and 6. It says that then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in wilderness and streams in the desert. Now, does that remind you of anything? Where do we see this fulfilled? I think almost immediately we think of Jesus, right? It's in the ministry of Jesus where all these incredible miracles take place, all these signs that accompany Jesus' ministry. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the mute speak. You know, there's this occasion where John's Baptist disciples, you know, John's in trouble and he goes, you know, what's going on here? And he sends his disciples, talk to Jesus, and they ask Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? And Jesus responds with this. The blind tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the mute speak. Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy here in Isaiah. And so it points us forward to Jesus. Judgment will come because Jesus has come. Therefore, also salvation will also come. See, when Jesus comes, it's a sign that God is already moving everything to the end point, where both judgment and salvation will come upon the whole world, the whole universe. So how do we get on the right side? Well, Isaiah gives us this picture of a highway. Salvation will be like a highway. And we've got to get on this highway. Have a look there, verses 8 to 10 again. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So this highway, it's not a highway made by man's hands. It's made by God. He makes this highway. And note who can walk on this highway. Who can't and who can. Who can't? The unclean will not journey on it. The wicked fools will not go about on it. So they can't get on this highway. But who can? But only the redeemed will walk there. And where it leads? It leads, only those the Lord has rescued will return, and it leads to Zion, the city of God, those whom the Lord has rescued, and there will be singing and everlasting joy. That is the final picture. Salvation is the final word of God. And we see this great contrast, right? 34, judgment, this beautiful redemption, chapter 35. So how do we get on this highway? How do we get on this highway? Because there's another path that's leading down destruction. Everything else is heading towards destruction. We must get on this highway. We must do everything we can to get on this highway. And scripture is really clear, isn't it? This highway is Jesus himself. He says, I am the way. I am the truth, the life. We get there through him. Jesus tells this parable of this hidden treasure, and this merchant goes, this pearl of like just great, it's priceless. I need to sell everything to get this pearl. And this is what we need to see this highway. You know, we must do everything to get on this highway. It's that precious that nothing else matters. Whatever you got going on in your life that you want to hold on to, let it go. Let it go. You see, we're presented in these two chapters, two paths. One is a great path that leads to destruction. Another is a highway that leads to heaven. And so we're presented with the choice. You are presented with a choice. I am presented with a choice. Which path will I take? Will you take? And I hope you see that what God requires of us because of our sin is blood. Did you see that in chapter 34? It's a lot of blood in there. Because a price has to be paid for our sin. A price has to be paid for your sin. And as we get these two pictures, the question comes up, well, whose blood will it be? Will it be your blood for your sin? Or will it be Christ's blood for your sin on the cross? And really, these passages are telling us, like, go for the other one, right? It should be, let's put our trust in Jesus. He takes the price for our sin. He takes the punishment. He is the one who redeems us, who pays the price that is needed so that our sins can be forgiven. And so that we can be worthy to walk on that highway. And so that's the main thing I want you to think about about these two chapters. Which path are you on? And get on the right path. And that is through trusting in Jesus. But now, if you are on the right path, you are on the highway, you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you trust him, what do you do with this passage? Well, hopefully you see the devastation all around us, the sin that is all around us and all the people around us. And God is saying, don't let that just happen like that. Help them get on the highway. Help them know who Jesus is. Help them to put their trust in the one who can save them. So if you have received that salvation and you received that rescue and that safety and that hope in heaven, let me urge you, encourage you, give your life to telling others about Jesus. There's a lot of things we can do in our lives. And we all have our own little paths, our education and our work goals and our things that we want to do with our life, our travel goals. But there is nothing more important in our lives than to trust in Jesus ourselves and then to tell others and help them put their trust in Jesus as well. Let me pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Justin. He's going to continue to pray for us. Lord, we've been confronted with this scary picture, the final day of judgment. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, that through him we are saved from that. And we've been given a way into your eternal home to enjoy and be safe forever. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we long for our friends and family to be on that highway as well. Lord, use us and help us, Lord, to love them, to be a light to them, to point them to your Son, Lord, so they might hear and believe and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.